We're back now with Bill Kirk with his Merrimack, eagle eye on the Merrimack Valley, more or less, I guess, as things are rapidly changing around here and everywhere else. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Great, Rick. How are you doing?
Well, I'm as confused as I could possibly be, and trying to stay safe. And you know what? This social distancing thing is kind of interesting as well. I've been out and about walking around trying to get into the grocery stores, the banks, and so on. And people are paying attention to it, at least on Cape Ann.
Yeah, did it look like that to you? I was in a local restaurant doing takeout, and yeah, people were being pretty good. You know, it was awkward though. You know, you're sitting there, you know, with the counter, and you're trying to order something, and you kind of move close. If you move too close, then I think the person behind the counter gets kind of mad. And I don't know, it's just an odd, it's just kind of awkward. I think we're not used to doing it.
I think the thing for me is when I run into someone, I do a lot of walking around Gloucester and running around Gloucester. And for example, today I ran into a police officer, a friend of mine I haven't seen in a while. And then do you shake hands? What do you do? And it is a little awkward, but we're learning as we go along. And speaking of that, Bill, what have you learned? And maybe tell me a little bit about how your activities are, because your reporting routine must be changing a tad.
Well, it is. Just this week, I went in Monday to the office and I covered a Methuen City Council meeting. And it was a little strange, you know, just in the sense that there were more than 10 people there. I don't think Trump's 10-person limit had actually taken effect at that point, so I think we were okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the city council, they were all sitting next to each other like they normally do, and I was sat out in the audience, so making sure I was away from people. But people kept coming up to me trying to shake my hand, and I wouldn't do it. I just said, "Hey, no, I'm sorry. I was gonna do the elbow. You know, I put out the elbow." And if some people seem to take a little bit of offense to that, and I just think it's foolish, because it's foolhardy, because I think, you know, we got to do what
right.
We got to do what we can do to sort of stop this thing on an individual level.
I think my concern is I'm not so. And I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not that concerned that I get it, although certainly it's a possibility. But I don't want to, I would not be want to be responsible, you know, to infecting someone else. I mean, if it's possible that I could have been exposed over the last week or so. I mean, I was at the Boston Garden last Wednesday covering all the high school basketball games. And so,
well, there you go.
You know, if I have it, but I'm not exhibiting any symptoms, I would hate like hell to give it to someone else. So, you know, it's something we have to do. And I think people are making that adjustment. What other adjustments?
The other thing that's interesting is with being at that meeting and talking to the mayor, Neil Perry. Now, he comes from the private sector. He worked at Raytheon for years. And it's amazing how nimble he is when it comes to making the shift to this all this technology now, where you can have lots of people basically in a virtual meeting at the same time. All you need is a web camera and software from there's a half a dozen different vendors that provide it. The city council approved the purchase of laptops, I think 20 laptops for some of their key personnel, and they're just going to be meeting now remote, you know, these remote meetings from their homes or wherever it is that they are. So they're not meeting in big groups. And I think that city council meeting that I was at on Monday was really the last one I'll probably be at for, I want to say, at least a month, if not longer. For me, it's really important to go to those meetings and be there face-to-face. It's like trying to cover a fire, let's say, you know, remotely.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. You just can't do it. I mean, I went to a fire last week in Lawrence, and, you know, I had to talk to the chief, I had to talk to the neighbors, and get photos and information for the captions, and I talked to all the people that owned the building, and you just have no choice. You can't really, it really does impede your ability to be a good reporter, because if you're doing everything by over the phone, you're only going to get a very limited sliver of the real story. And that's the same with a meeting. When I cover meetings, I go, I'll sit there and I'll listen to them, and then I go right up to everybody afterwards, and I bombard them with questions, and I get the documents I need, and
right.
You know, that becomes as much of the story as anything else. So it's definitely changing the way news is gathered, at least in my mind. I just hope that the governor has signed some legislation, waiving the need for the in-person meetings, and also waiving the need for public comment and communications during these meetings. Now that, to me, is really bad, because you're now taking out a way for the public to speak directly to the people that are in charge of what's going on in the city or town. On the other hand, you know, they keep using the phrase abundance of caution. You just can't have people in meeting rooms together right now.
Well, that's an interesting angle. I hadn't thought of that. You're right. And, you know, we have no idea how long this is going to last. Good observations. And I know for us, you know, we're doing everything. Bill and I are doing everything over the phone right now. But we go out in the community and try to get photographs and interviews, video and stuff like that. And we're very, very careful now who we talk with. It's changed the whole dynamic of everything. What else?
The job to me is much more fun if you're. It's a lot of fun if you're out outside, talking to people, interviewing people, having coffee, and sitting down with them and interviewing them, and that just to me makes it a lot more interesting than doing everything over the phone. I don't know if I speak for other journalists. I'm sure some feel the same way, but to me, that's what makes it. One of the things that makes it so much fun and so interesting is you get to meet different people in different settings and doing different things.
Oh, sure.
So it's just it's an adjustment. I keep telling myself it's not going to last too long, and I really hope it doesn't.
Well, what I'm looking for, Bill, is I'm waiting for the day, and I hope it's sooner rather than later, when just here in Massachusetts, just keeping it local, here in Massachusetts, we get a report that says, okay, we have fewer people infected reporting today than we did yesterday, or it's down to zero. I'm looking for that day, because I think when we get to that day, okay, we're beginning to turn the page here. So hasn't happened yet, but I also think that the restrictive measures that are in place now, and I my personal feeling is that Governor Baker was way ahead of the curve, and certainly way ahead of the federal government in taking taking all these moves correctly, and he's thought things through pretty well, I think, he and his staff. And I think that having done so, I think Massachusetts may we may get this we may turn this corner sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Well, I have a story coming out later this week I had a great interview this morning with the president and CEO of Lawrence General, the head of their emergency services division, and the head of the emergency room. And the steps they're taking and the things they're doing are really impressive, and they're really on the front lines. And they really need to, they're doing what they need to do. But it's really interesting how hospitals and medical facilities are so intertwined and so part of the larger world, and the materials they need, the equipment they need, the testing kits that they need, they get out of their control. They don't have the ability to make their own test kits, so they can't test people themselves. Obviously, they have to get them from somewhere else. Then they get the kits, and then they have to send them out. So some of them are done locally, and some of them they have to send all the way across the country, and it takes 5 or 6 days to get the results. The equipment that they need, the safety gear, the gloves, the masks, the respirators, those things are quite frankly in short supply, and they don't, nobody really knows how long this thing is going to last. And that's why I think Trump, today, using the War Powers Act or something like that to try to get manufacturers in this country to make more masks. And it's such a simple thing, but these masks are everything. I mean, it's what protects you from getting sick or not.
Right.
And, you know, if you're treating somebody who's got the coronavirus or COVID-19, then you inhale, a droplet or whatever, because it's airborne, then, you're going to get it. And then you're going to infect other people, especially as a healthcare worker. So they have to be super careful and super safe. And at this point, I think they're really worried that they just might not have all of the gear that they need for a sustained, sort of onslaught of cases. I think that's sort of, right now I think they're fine, but if you go 6 weeks to 2 months down the road, if something doesn't happen where more test kits are created and more equipment is pumped out into the medical world, then there's going to be some problems.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is to keep that curve flattened out and not get as many people sick all at the same time, and I think certainly Massachusetts is trying to do that. So again, you will have a story coming out from the Lawrence General Hospital that in the Lawrence Eagle Tribune, and that will either be Thursday or Friday, and I would remind our visitors to go to eagletribune.com if you're not getting the newspaper and look for that. And Bill, maybe one other question. Here on Cape Ann and in Salem and so on, the municipal offices are being closed, but you can still, I guess, access business online or through the telephones. Have you found that up in the Merrimack Valley as well?
Oh, yeah. They've tried to move everything online so that you don't have to go into City Hall and potentially contract the virus or pass it on to somebody else. And they've got skeleton crews in City Hall so that they'll be there answering phones if you need the assessor or whatever. I know in Methuen, if you want to pay your excise taxes, for example. I guess that's the tax that's being collected right now. There's a drop box behind the City Hall where you drop it. You can get marriage certificates, birth certificates, death certificates. You can get all of those online or by calling the City Hall. And I know that's true in Lawrence and Haverhill and probably most other towns as well. I mean, yeah, all their websites are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure the only thing they worry about is when somebody who's a little, older and might not be so savvy with the computer and sort of needs some help, then they can just call in. A lot of places are making it so you can come in by appointment only. I just think they're hoping that, kind of like the IRS, migrated to pretty much all electronic mm-hmm. returns. They're hoping that everybody can just sort of keep, start doing things electronically. As things shift, I think this is going to become the new norm. Everybody's going to start doing everything, online, and it's going to sort of, this will be a big sort of test. this could be a huge shift in how we do business.
Yeah, it's going to be a test for me. Like I said, I've got to shift all my banking to online now. And, I love going into the bank and talking with people because half the tellers there are former students of mine. One other thing, Bill, before I let you go, and I don't know that you have a comment on this, but I know that here in town, in Gloucester anyway, the grocery stores ran out of a lot of things. They're empty shelves on Friday and Saturday. And we only shop once a week, and we didn't get into the panic buying. So we went in, we needed some Kleenex, and we needed some toilet paper on Saturday, and needless to say, it was all gone. But the mayor of Gloucester, and I'm pretty sure the governor of the state as well, have both said that, fear not, supplies are coming. The stores will be restocked. And in fact, I went to Market Basket in Gloucester yesterday, and lo and behold, there was plenty of toilet paper there. So this panic buying, I think is hopefully petered out by now. But have you observed anything like that in your travels?
Yeah, we've done some stories in the Tribune over the last few days, talking about that Market Basket in particular. There've been a lot of rumors that grocery stores are going to shut down. Those are all unfounded. They're not shutting down. The supply chains are still, fully functional. People are, trucks are still rolling and stuff is still being loaded into grocery stores. I think that first spate of panic buying, may have cleaned out the shelves, and maybe it took for a few days for all those knuckleheads to go out and clean off all the shelves. But now that they've got all enough toilet paper, now it's time for the rest of us to go get our, one package. That's all I get. One package.
That's
all
it.
I need. I don't need 10 packages.
Yeah.
So hopefully that died down. But one thing I wanted to add too is that this crisis, from a news media perspective, from a local news media perspective, it's a really interesting story because it's a national story, but it's also a really, really local story. And that's where I think people, if they just sit there and watch CNN all day long, they're going to get a real skewed sense of what's going on.
Yep.
But if they pick up their local paper or go onto their local news organization's website, we have so many stories and so many so much great information about all of this stuff, and it's stuff that's happening in your community. And so I just feel like it's so important for people to put their minds at ease in some way by reading their local paper, because we're not like the New York Daily News or the Boston Herald. We don't blow things up and exaggerate things. We really are very careful about just being, even-handed and telling stories and about what's really going on out there. So I encourage people, that's obviously self-serving, but I encourage people to, just keep an eye on their local paper. And it's because, like I said, this is a local and a national story, or an international story. But, what's happening in your neighborhood with your neighbors, your neighborhood stores and your neighborhood restaurants is that's the story right now with this thing. It's just it's really incredible, and I hope everybody stays aware of what's going on and careful about how they go about their daily life.
Well, we're in the business of news journalism somewhat tepidly, but I can say that local newspapers up and down the Merrimack Valley and Essex County, and probably over into the Middlesex County as well. That's where you get your detailed local information, and I couldn't agree with you more, Bill. And that's one of the reasons we talk with you. And thank you for doing this for us. I really appreciate it.
No, it's always good to talk to you. And hopefully we'll get through this thing and come out the other side better off than we were.
I think we'll have some good stories to tell, and I think we'll have some good stories for you to tell us, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Bill. Meantime, stay safe, and thank you so much for talking with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for what you do, Rick.
Take care, Bill.
All right,
that is Bill Kirk, who is the Eagle Eye on the Merrimack Valley. Bill Kirk, reporter for the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.